Take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I want to thank Pastor for this opportunity to preach this, or maybe I should say teach this, because I did a lesson at the a session at the RU conference, and when Pastor asked me to do this, I kind of had to reformat it a little bit for the setting for tonight. So if I happen to say our RU chapter, I really mean our church. Okay, so help me out with that. Colin did a real good job of trying to pass out some outlines. If you did not get one, would you raise your hand? I know Colin and Caleb, and there are a few others, and there's several that didn't get one. Thank you guys for taking care of that real quick. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13, we're going to deal just with one verse tonight and do something like what we do in RU is we like to dissect and define a verse, and that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. Let me start off by giving you my testimony. I was saved. I grew up in church, saved as a young boy. I'm thinking about 5 or 6 years old. I don't remember the age I was. I do remember going down the altar, kneeling there at the altar, and my Sunday school teacher coming up and kneeling beside me and helping me pray the sinner's prayer. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But we went to small churches. I mean, if we had 30 people in our church, we had a crowd that day. And so we didn't. I didn't grow a lot in my spirituality, in my growth, really from the age of 5 to 6 till about 15 or 16. It was then when I was out riding my bike in my neighborhood one day that a man had stopped me. He had just moved in just a couple of houses down and across the street. And he stopped me and he introduced himself and he says, "My name is Mike Coleman and I'm the youth pastor at Bible Baptist Church. And I'd like for you to come visit our youth group." Well, as a 15-year-old kid, I was, you know, kind of interested. I said, "Well," he says, "well, we do games, we go to camp, we do activities, there's girls and all those things." And then when he said girls, I was automatically interested. And I went to church, and I remember that first Sunday that I walked into the doors of Bible Baptist Church, and there was a man there by the name of Terry Way. Terry met me at the door that day. He was just a young man. He was in his 20s. He was married and had a child, but he was a pastor's son. And as I walked into that door, and I remember just like it was yesterday, he shook out his hand, he introduced himself, and I told him who I was, and he said this. He says, "Earl, it is so great to have you at church today." I really do believe it was that moment that I experienced the power of encouragement. That day changed my life unbelievably. I would not be in the ministry today if it wasn't for Terry Way sticking out his hand and saying, "Earl, it is so great to see you today. Thank you for being there." There's power in encouragement. And I want to try to be an encouragement to you tonight, no pun intended, and talk through this thing about the power of encouragement. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13. And this is going to be the only verse we're going to look at tonight. I'm going to refer to others, but I want to really concentrate on this verse tonight. The Bible says, "But exhort one another daily." We're in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." About 20 years ago, there was a community up in Connecticut that started a new program with the police department. It was a new program they designed to give safe drivers a $2 reward for obeying speed limits. But not only to obey speed limits, but to also see people using their turn signals, making sure seat belts were fastened, having children in protective seats and things like that. Well, one woman was pulled over by a wonderful police officer one day, and he as most people, all of us would do, anytime we look in our rearview mirror and we see those red and blue lights go off, we automatically think that, uh-oh, I have done something wrong. Well, to her amazement, the police officer walked up kindly to her with a little card in his hand, and the woman rolled down her window, and the lady says, "Sir, was I doing something wrong?" He says, "No, you were actually doing something right, and we want to reward you with this card of $2 and thank you for your safe driving." Well, it happened again. There was another man that was one day pulled over for his good driving, and the policeman again walked up to him, handed him an envelope, and he says, "Hey, thanks a lot for obeying the law." You know, soon, correction does a lot. Correction does much, but encouragement does more. Soon this little city began to notice that the amount of traffic citations dropped by 75%. I believe that the police in this small town had a good idea. And I've come to find out that others will respond best. Our friends will respond best. Our family will respond best. Our sons and our daughters and our visitors will respond best if we not only correct them when they do wrong, but we thank them for doing right. It's so easy sometimes to have a negative attitude and come in and just be negative all the time, but we really need to be encouragers and not discouragers. So tonight what I want to do, I want to give you some aspects of encouragement that I hope will be a help to you tonight. Number one, who needs encouragement? Who needs encouragement? Well, look in verse number 13. It says this, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Can I say that everyone has times when they could use some support from others? That means everyone is a candidate. Everyone is a candidate to receive encouragement from you. But not only that, not only do we need to be encouragements from others, but we also need to remember that we need an encouragement. David said that he encouraged himself daily. Now, let me be a help to you folks real quick on something. All of us need encouragement. But make sure whatever you do, don't discourage your encourager. Encourage them. Encourage them and be an encouragement, because not only does they need to be encouraged, you need to be encouraged. Now, I'm a basketball player. I love basketball. My knees don't tell me I don't like it as much as I used to, but I like basketball. And if you notice, if you ever watched the NBA finals about a few weeks ago, that these guys that get paid millions of dollars for dunking the ball and for shooting those long three-pointers from half court, they have a problem with something when they get to the free throw line. And these guys get paid millions of dollars, and many of them shoot 100, 200, 300 free throws a day, but they still have trouble shooting free throw. And these guys will get up there, and they got fouled, or there's a technical, and they get to shoot a free throw, and these guys get up there, and man, they're nervous, and all of a sudden they take that, and they shoot, and they miss it. Now, what does everybody else on the team do? Do they say, "Come on, man. What's wrong with you, man? You make $5 million. You're supposed to be able to make a free throw." Is that what they do? No, everybody comes to the center. And by the way, have you ever noticed a free throw shooter? Especially if he misses, this is what he does. He'll get up there, he'll shoot that free throw. If he misses, what he'll do? "Come on, guys, give me some encouragement." And all the guys on his team comes up and they give him a high five and say, "Come on, man, make that shot." Well, that's exactly what we as Christians need to do. All of us are going through trouble. All of us are having problems. All of us need to be encouragers. You know, one of the most popular shows that's ever been on TV is a show called Cheers. You remember that? Some of you may remember that. And the show is centered around folks hanging out at a bar. Now listen, people just don't go to bars to drink. All right? They can drink at home. People go to bars to drink in an environment where there is encouragement. In fact, they have a name for it. They call it happy hour. Now, happy hour is designed not only to give you drinks at maybe a little cheaper price, but it also to bring people together to create an environment. One thing that we can do in our church is to create an environment of encouragement. And it starts with you, and it starts with me. Now, these establishments figure that if people are not receiving happiness from their jobs, if they're not receiving happiness from their husband or wives or from their homes, as Pastor so greatly preached about this morning, or maybe they're not satisfied in their work, then they feel like that they can give people what they are missing out on. And I'm telling you, folks, that we as a church here at Worth Baptist Church need to be people of encouragement and not discouragement. You know, Proverbs 12:25 says this, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." You know, encouragement, listen, like water on a dry garden, speech has a strange and wonderful power to penetrate the soul and to bring refreshment. So who needs encouragement? All of us do. All of us do. Number two, why do we need encouragement? Well, first of all, let's finish the verse. And if your outline there says the addicted, that means everybody, okay? And it may say that. Does it say that? Okay, all right. Again, remember, it's all of us, okay? Because we're all addicted to some type of stubborn habit or addiction. Amen? Amen. All right. Okay. So why do we need it? Well, it says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what? We live in a day where discouragement is all around us. It's all around us. It's everywhere. And I don't know about you, but I don't go through a single day without running into someone who is either complaining or they're being negative, or they're very discouraged. And I believe encouragement is written so much in the Bible, and it is. Encouragement is written a lot in the Bible for a very specific reason. And what is that? We're easily discouraged people. Why are we easily discouraged people? Well, it's because of our sin nature. It's because of our sin nature. All of us struggle with our sin nature. Paul struggled with it. We know that. He wrote about it in Romans chapter 7, how much he struggled with it. And if Paul, probably the greatest Christian that walked on the face of the earth, struggles with it, I'm telling you, you and I are going to struggle with it. We all are. So why? It's because of sin. But that gets us to number three. Where does discouragement begin? Where does discouragement begin? Well, let's dig in a little bit more into that verse. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, if you think about it, discouragement has to come from somewhere. It has to come from somewhere. We don't just drift into discouragement. It just doesn't happen to us. Discouragement comes from sin. Whether it's our sin or somebody else's sin, discouragement comes from sin. And God has not designed you and me to live a life of discouragement or to lose hope. God didn't create us for that. And that is not who we really are. And you can be rest assured, if you're living this way, that's not who you really are. And can I say this? That is not your identity in Christ Jesus. Your life has tremendous value. Every person in here, from wall to wall and from front to back, everybody has value. And God wants to use you for something. And we can't forget that. Now, Sin. It's ugly. It's bad. It's terrible. It's deceiving. It's evil. It's mean. It's negative. It's discouraging. And God calls us to encourage one another, because otherwise, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that we're going to be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin will actually harden us more and more and make us more discouraged in our life. What's challenging about this is that if we don't encourage others, then guess what's going to happen? We're going to allow them to become more hardened and more hardened and more hardened and more hardened by sin. You've seen them, you've seen people like that before. You've seen people that you've talked to that are just so hardened because of sin. Their heart is so hard, and you try to reach them and you try to give them encouragement. You try to love them with the love of Christ, and then what do? They're hard. They have the idea of, I shall not be moved. And most time they're not. They're not going to be moved. But there's an answer to the discouragement, and that's Jesus. Encouragement begins with Jesus. He is the way. He's the truth. He is the life. And listen, if we stop and remember what Jesus has done for us, then let me tell you something. We'll immediately be encouraged. Immediately. Think of what Jesus has done for you. Think about it for a minute. Are you discouraged in mind? Hey, think about what Jesus did just on the cross for you, and showing you how much He loved you and how much He cared for you, and how God has blessed you to live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and everybody here is richer than 50 or 60 or 70% of the rest of the world. God has blessed you. But yet we let discouragement harden our heart. And let me say this. Once we remember Jesus, our perspective immediately gets realigned with His perspective. My son Christian played football in high school. Played at a small Christian school. And by the way, he was first team all district, second team all state. Very proud of him. But they didn't have one of those quote unquote great teams. And I was always amazed during the times that they weren't doing very well. I was always amazed at how the cheerleaders on the sideline were always just cheering and cheering and cheering and cheering and had energy and cheered and cheered. And listen, it didn't make a difference whether the score was 50-0 for the other side. They were still saying, go, fight, win, and all that. Let me say this. We need to be like cheerleaders. And our churches should be a place of encouragement that stirs people up. Not puts them to sleep, but stirs people up. People need to be encouraged in their walk with the Lord. And you may be one who's here tonight. You may need encouragement. But when you're not that person, you should be the cheerleader who cheers others on. Come on, you can do this. And that's especially so true in the RU ministry, when we really have to get these people that are coming in with these addictions and these stubborn habits, we really need to be a cheerleader and say, hey, come on, you can do this. Come on, you can live for God. God loves you and God has purpose for your life. Don't quit. Even though it may seem rough and it may seem bad, they need encouragement. Hey, listen, the moment you think something encouraging for someone, say it. Just say it. Number four, when do we encourage the addicted? Or when do we encourage others? Well, notice what the Bible says. One another daily, while it is called today. Today. Now, our duty to exhort the brethren is to do it daily. Daily. But not only daily, constantly. Hey, listen, friends in the church should exhort, counsel one another. Parents, Sunday school teachers, the age ought to exhort the young. The church members should exhort one another. They should admonish one another of their faults. They should aid one another in their walk with the Lord. Hey, use your time while you have it, while life lasts, or while we may be permitted to use the language. Listen, today, hear the voice of God. And I want you to notice something about this. Did you notice that it said, while it is called today? It did not say today. It said today. Now, not only is it in verse number 13, but if you look back at verse number 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, in verse number 8. And then verse number 13, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then verse number 15, while it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, did you notice something different about the word today? Now, in our English word, today means today. I know I went to school for 8 years to figure that out. It means today. It means now. It means daily. Now, in the Greek, it means on the day or this day. And generally what that means very simply is this. Now. Now. Now, hey, parents, don't you like it when your kids obey you now? I mean, you speak it and what? They do it. Now, I know that doesn't happen very often. Okay? And when it does, hey, enjoy it. Really enjoy it. And by the way, encourage. Say, great job. But notice it says today. Now, 76 times in the Word, in the Word of God, today is used in the King James Version. The word to and then followed by day. 8 times it's used as a capital today. 4 times here in the book of Hebrews. And this is verses connected to Psalm 95, verse number 7, where it says, today, not today, if ye will hear his voice. What's Paul doing? Paul is saying the same thing. Did you notice that in verse number 7? Today, if ye will hear his voice. And then verse number 15, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice. Now, I was taught a long time ago, when Jesus says something once, it's important. But when he says something twice, especially in the same chapter, hey, it's really important. And he wants us to really pay attention here. He really wants us to say, hey, pay attention to what I'm saying. This is something you need to do today. This is something you need to do right now. And what is that? Oh, the Lord tells us. Hear his voice. Hear his voice. You know what this really means? It really means use time while you have it. Use time while you have it. Now, today will never come again. Be a blessing. Be a friend. Encourage someone. Take time to care. Let your words heal and not wound. The Bible tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but exhort one another. What does the word exhort mean? It means what? Encourage. Encourage. Hey, we know what Hebrews 10 says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I hear this a lot as I'm out door knocking, talking to people. In fact, Brother Max and I had we knocked on a door yesterday out visiting this young man that said, you know, I have my church, and I don't really think church attendance is that important. I think this verse right here tells us why church attendance is important. Did you catch it? Not for assembling, the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another. Hey, let me tell you something. You may be able to stay home, and you may be able to watch it on live stream, and you may be able to do this, and you may be able to do that, but I promise you, you can't get the encouragement that being in church brings. Can't do it. God's Word says we can't do it. So when people come to church, and whether they visit our church or whether they're a member of our church, and listen, don't have the idea, well, I need to have some encouragement today. Hey, I've found this. Instead of wanting somebody to encourage me, I need to turn around and encourage them. I just need to encourage them. And be an encourager instead of a discourager. Hey, listen, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be a burden. I want to be a blessing. Do you have that attitude? Do you have that spirit of wanting to be a blessing to people instead of a burden? Now, let me say this. You say, Brother Earl, that's not my spiritual gift. I totally, totally understand. But there is a difference in having a spiritual gift of encouragement and being an encourager. Because the Bible commands us to be an encourager. We need Christ. Christ is what an encouragement that Christ has been to all of our life. And then number five, I didn't give you the blank there. Let me say this. Yesterday is the past of sin and misery. Today is the present of divine grace and mercy. Tomorrow is eternity full of grace and joy. Today is the turning point, the crisis, the seed time. Tomorrow is the day when idle men work and fools repent. Tomorrow is Satan's day. He cares not what good changes you make, only if you wait to fix them for tomorrow. Tomorrow. Today's the day. Number five, what do we need to do to be encouragers? The Bible is very clear. Exhort one another. Just exhort, encourage. The exhort means to encourage, to cheer, to advise, to inspire with courage, spirit, confidence. Hey, a coach encourages an athlete throughout a marathon to just keep on running. Don't let any hindrances stop you. He does it by stimulating approval and says, hey, you can do this, you can do this. One of the chiefest duties of a teacher is to encourage the students to promote, to advance, to foster. We have a divine teacher, and his name is Jesus. And did you know that the Greek word for encourage, that parakleo, appears 105 times in the New Testament? And this is where we get our word comforted from. And who is that? That is the person of the Holy Spirit of God. If we were continue to study that word, we know that that word is the comforter, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to exhort and encourage us. We have a Savior that is encourager. He encourages us to live the holy life. You know, somehow encouragement has become confused with a compliment or praising others. Now, while praise can be part of encouragement, it doesn't cover the full meaning of the word. And we often think of encouragement as saying nice things to others to make them feel good about themselves. But I believe that there's a closer definition to the definition of compliment. Where a compliment, now don't miss this, and this is not in your notes, but you may want to write this down. Where a compliment goes to the head, and encouragement goes to the heart. Where a compliment goes to the head and builds up pride, encouragement goes to the heart and it builds someone's character for Christ. That's the power of encouragement. People who encourage others say with love what a person needs to hear when they need to hear it, even if it isn't what the person wants to hear. And we are to give, as the Bible says, truth in love. You know, they say that the third Monday in January has become known as Blue Monday. Doing a little research on this, researchers tell us that Monday of the new year is known as the saddest day of the year. Interesting. The third Monday in January. Twitter says that during that day, there's five times more negative or sad or depressing tweets than there are positive ones. Now I started thinking about, why is that? Well, the holidays are over. Post-Christmas blues have come up. There are cold, dark nights. And the credit card bill is due. All right? So I'd like to recommend a solution. What if we regularly adapt the idea of being encouragement? There are some people that walk in a room and the room lights up. Why? Because they're encouragers. There are some people otherwise that will also walk in a room and then all of a sudden it just seems like the spirit of the room just tanks. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that person. I want to be an encourager. The Bible tells us of a man in the Bible by the name of Joseph. Joseph was an encourager. And so much that you don't know him as Joseph, they gave him another name by the name of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Everyone needs a Barnabas in your life. Everybody does. So let me challenge you, become a Barnabas. Become a Barnabas. And number six, let me finish this real quick. I'm just going to give you these, and then we're going to close, okay? And it says, how are we to become an encourager? The Bible says, while it's called today. Let me give you 16 real quick, and I'm going to really just read through these, so don't look at your watches, okay? All right? I'm just going to give you this, and I'll give you a brief story, and then I'll close. How are some ways that we can be encouragers? Well, number one, be positive. Be positive. Number two, well, let me say this too. Can I just add this? I had a friend tell me a long time ago, if you're going to hang your head, now listen to me, don't miss this. If you're going to hang your head, hang it up. What does that mean? If you're going to hang your head up, down, then hang it up. Get your head up. Why? Because then you can look at Jesus. Then you can look for Jesus. All right? So be positive. Number two, be loving. Number three, be affirming. And what I mean by that, give strong affirmations to people. There's a lot of discouragement in people's lives. Hey, affirm them with Jesus Christ. Just affirm them with Christ. Give them the word, all right? Number four, be genuine. Don't be fake. Don't be a fake. Be genuine. Number five, be praying. You can pray that someone will be encouraged. All right? Number six, be smiling. All right? Be smiling. There is a critical shortage of smiles today. All right? I like to say this, turn that frown upside down. Smile. I heard somebody tell me this, Brother Tyler. Smile a lot, and people will wonder what you're up to. All right? Be smiling. Number seven, be affectionate. Be affectionate. Now listen, I know we're independent Baptists. Whether it's a hug, a handshake, or a high five. All right? Sometimes you just might need to put your arm around somebody and says, hey, I'm praying for you. There's a right way to do that. All right? But be affectionate. Let people know you care. All right? Number eight, be outgoing. Lift people's spirits. Number eight, nine, be personable. What does that mean? Hey, learn people's names. Hey, one thing when we have visitors come into our church, they ought to be swamped by people saying, hey, we're so glad you're here. What is your name? And you say, brother, I forget people's names. Well, I do too, but let me tell you what helps me. Saying their name three times in a conversation helps me. Learn people's names. They will remember that. Be personable. Number 10, be scriptural. I told you this is going fast. Hey, share scriptural truths. The Bible is full of uplifting scriptures. Let's use them. All right? Number 11, be a comforter. Talked about that a while ago. Just give them a handshake. Just let them, hey, say these positive words. Share with them the love and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 12, be joyful. Number 13, be a blessing. We tend to be ungrateful. We tend to feel entitled. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So be a blessing. Number 14, be winsome. There are plenty of opinionated and abrasive personalities out there. Hey, we can be agreeable and we can be pleasant. And if you can, have someone that you have problems with, then just agree to disagree agreeably. And then love continually. Love continually. Number 15, be a builder. Don't gossip. Gossip is so destructive, it's so discouraging, and it's also a sin. Number 16, be a listener. Just simply listen to someone can lift their spirits. I remember back several years ago, I was counseling somebody, and I counseled this person for an hour. And all I did was listen. And at the end of the counseling time, this person said, Brother Earl, you sure have helped me. And you know what? All I said, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Why? Because just listening, they really did figure out what their own problem was. Just listen. You know, our duty is not to see through one another, but to see one another through. Pastors use this illustration. I heard it several years ago from Dr. Chappell, but I don't know if there's a poem that has affected my life more than this. Actually, it's not a poem. Actually, it's a true story. And it's the story of Teddy Stallard. Miss Jean Thompson taught Teddy Stallard in fourth grade. He was a slow, unkempt student, a loner, shunned by a lot of his classmates. The previous year, his mother died, and what little motivation for school he may have once had was now gone. Miss Thompson didn't particularly care for Teddy either, but at Christmas time, he bought her a small present. Her desk was covered with well-wrapped presents from other children, but Teddy's came in a brown paper sack. When she opened it, it was a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. The children began to snicker, but Miss Thompson saw the importance of the moment, and she quickly splashed on some of the perfume and put on the bracelet, pretending Teddy had given her something really special. At the end of the day, Teddy worked up enough courage to say, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And her bracelet looks really pretty on you too. I'm so glad you like my presents. After Teddy left, Miss Thompson got out on her knees and prayed for God's forgiveness. She prayed for God to use her as she sought to not only teach these students, but to love them as well. That day, Miss Thompson became a new teacher. She lovingly helped students like Teddy. And by the end of the year, Teddy had caught up with the rest of the students. Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. Then she received this note. Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I'll be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stallard. 4 years later, she got another note. Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me that I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stallard. 4 years later, dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stallard, M.D. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know, and I'm getting married next month, and I want you to come and sit where my mother would have sat if she were alive. You are the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stallard. Miss Thompson went to that wedding, and she sat where Teddy's mother would have sat because she let God use her as an instrument of encouragement. George Adams says this, encouragement is oxygen to the soul. And in this story, folks, all of us can relate to it. Because every one of us, if we were to look back in our life, have had somebody to encourage us to take the next step. Whether that is a step tonight is whether it's just to encourage somebody else to take a step toward doing something more for the Lord. But that's one step maybe for some of you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's where life begins. People have a way of becoming what you encourage them to be, not what you nag them to be. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask Pastor to come and lead in the invitation.
Father, we thank you for the message that we've just heard, practical, helpful. It touched our hearts. There's not one of us in this room that couldn't be a better encourager. And tonight we've seen the value of it. And in my heart, I'm saying, yes, Lord, use me in this way. We pray if there's someone not saved, that we would encourage them to come to Christ tonight. We pray that for the next few moments, your people would bring their burdens and their problems to you and find encouragement in you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The message has been very clear. Not one of us that couldn't stand to be a better encourager. If God has spoken to you, if you would like this to be your ministry in an even greater way, why not come and find a place at the altar and commit to the Lord? I'm going to be an encourager in my home, at my workplace, at my church. Thank you, Brother Sides, for the Bible message. Brother Johnson, you lead.